to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen building businesses are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I love the journey, and you all know that. And I love the different women that we have the opportunity to share. And I'm excited about bringing today's guest in. Alexis Hasselberger is a time management and productivity coach who helps people do more and stress less. Through coaching, workshops, and online courses, Alexis helps people easily integrate practical, realistic strategies into their lives, so that they can do more of what they want and less of what they don't want to do. Alexis has taught thousands of individuals to take control of their time, to their to-do list, and their overwhelm. Her clients include Google, Lyft, Capital One, and more. So she is definitely somebody who is out there making a difference, and I'm very excited to be bringing her here to our coaching corner. So Alexis, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much, Dori. I'm really pleased to be here talking to you today.
I'm happy to have you. So, you know what? Share your journey. What brought you to becoming a productivity coach?
Sure. Yeah. So I will say, I'm going to start way in the beginning. I was always a kid who was, you know, one of those probably annoying to other people children who was, you know, breaking out the graph paper and making my own schedule for myself and cross-referencing it with the TV guide so that I could make sure to get my best half hour of TV that I was allowed in, you know. So I've always been super organized, and I've always had kind of systems to how I do things. You know, in college and then in high school, my goal was always, maximum ROI. It was like, how can I get straight A's and never go to class? Like, that's my goal. And so I think when I started in the work world, I took those same kind of principles into work, which is I want to be excellent at whatever I'm doing, but I want to do it with the least amount of stress and the least amount of effort so that I can have more time for myself because, you know, ultimately that's what I want. I want, you know, I'm a mom, I've got kids, all this, but I still want a lot of time for myself. And so for the first 15 years or so of my career, I ran HR and business operations in startups. Where there was always way more to do than people to do it. And I saw a lot of people burning out along the way. I also had kids along the way, and I realized that so many of the moms around me were super stressed. I was working in an office full time. I was also one of those crazy people who made all my own baby food and things like that, but I wasn't feeling as stressed as other people. And so I started trying to codify, well, you know, what am I doing that's different than other people? And what are other people who I see, you know, working, having really great careers, but also having really, you know, nice personal lives with a lot of leisure time? How are they doing it? How am I doing it? And how can I then teach that to other people? And so, you know, of course, hindsight is 20/20, but you know, along the way, people started asking me to do productivity workshops, et cetera. And at a certain point, I just realized that the thing that I geek out over the most is systems and, you know, productivity and how do I really, you know, optimize my own time. And that seemed to be the thing people were coming to me most often for help. And so I realized that there was a product market fit there that I could help other people to be able to figure out how they can use their time more intentionally so that they can be, you know, using their time to match their goals and their values instead of just letting the days happen to them over and over.
Awesome. I have to say I was also one of those geek moms that made up my own baby food and things like that. It just was so much easier to me to do things like that. We always ate organic anyway, so I never had to worry about what my kids were eating. But I love that from such an early age, you had that mindset. So it's kind of feeding on your natural abilities and what you were naturally, you know, your predilection was already there to do that. So why do you feel, and why is, it's not even why do you feel, but why is time management so important?
So for me, it's about, you know, how do I want to use my time on this earth, right? Like I personally believe we've only got one life. I know other people may feel differently, but this is the only one that I know that I'm sure of. And for me, I want to live that life, you know, in a way that I'm enjoying it as much as I possibly can. And for me, that means that I want to have as much freedom in my time as I want to. I also, you know, I don't care what people do with the extra time they have. I just want them to have extra time for themselves. And so, you know, for me, it's really important that we don't spend all of our lives just doing the drudgery, that we're not stressed out and, you know, going to sleep every day at 1 p.m. after, or I mean, 1 a.m. after all we've done is, you know, work and then take care of our kids and then do the laundry and then do all the things and then we go to sleep still stressed about it all. That doesn't seem like, you know, a happy life to me. That's not a life I want to live. Sometimes I refer to myself as a very driven, lazy person. Like, this is why I want a lot of time to myself to be able to read and watch TV and hang out with the kids and all this stuff. And so I think that for me, it's about kind of power that comes with controlling your time, that like, I'm the one in control here. And I want other people to feel in control of their lives because there's so much satisfaction that comes from that. I think people think about time management as this kind of dorky subject, but for me, it's about, no, like, how am I going to use my life?
I have to laugh about what you just said about, you know, the lazy part of it. My cousin told a joke once, and it's true, because her daughter was so stressed about being a straight-A student in college. And she said one day, she goes, you know, what do you call the person who graduates at the bottom of the class in medical school? Her daughter's like, what? She goes, doctor. You know, be real. You know, you're killing yourself.
Right.
You know, being straight A, yeah, you know, that's a wonderful aspiration, but not when it's killing you to do it. You know, some people are just naturally inclined as a student and things like that. And then others, you know, so it's so funny. But that's, my cousin says that all the time. She's like, trust me, I am what is the least I have to do to make sure everything is done and done well.
Right.
She does it really well.
Right,
but
exactly.
It's like, look, I'm going to go in the lazy route and just go here. This is what we need, you know?
Right. It's true.
And let's face it, you know, as parents and business owners, mompreneurs, businesswomen, and stuff like that, your time management is critical. If you are not, as you were saying earlier, going to go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, still, you know, with your head swimming about everything that you have to do when you wake up, you're not even going to get a good night's sleep because you're already stressing about how the morning's going to start and things.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's in that whole, you know, when you talk about being a productivity coach, what does productivity really mean?
Yeah. So to me, productivity is really just about how do we say, okay, these are the things I have to do. And then how do we decide what are the things that are valuable to us, what we want to spend our time on, and then how do we Tetris our lives to make sure that we're spending time on those things and that we're ditching the other things, that we're, you know, we're coming to grips with the fact that, you know what, we're going to die with a big long list of things we didn't do, and that is 100% okay. As ambitious people in life, that's actually what we want. If we accomplish everything, then what would we ever be striving for? It wouldn't be very interesting. But what we want to know, and what productivity is to me, is just knowing that today I did the things that were more important than the things I didn't do. And if I can do that over and over, day in and day out, then I know that I'm using my time productively in a way that makes sense to me. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, people may look at the amount of time I spend binge watching Netflix and say, well, that's not very productive. And I think that it's incredibly productive if it's what I wanted to do, right? If I'm accomplishing what I want to do, that's productivity.
There you go. So what kind of tips can you share, especially, I mean, you know, with everything going on right now, I am sure time management and productivity has taken a big shift in everything happening now, with people in a day going from working in their offices to working from home. And for those families, mompreneurs like us that have built businesses from home, now all of a sudden you have your spouse home or your significant other,
right,
and your kids and everything else, and you still have to get your work done. So what have you done with your clients and the people that you're working with to kind of help them pivot at this time?
Yeah, yes. So I think one of the key things that I realized real early on in this, because you're exactly right, like, I've worked from home for a long time, but not with my kids and my husband there, right? Like, I was alone, blissfully alone. And so one of the things that we did immediately and that was super impactful is create a visual schedule that is posted where each person in the house is working. And so it's not one of these crazy color-coded schedules of like, we're going to be doing this and this and this. It's literally a one-color schedule, and it has times on the side, and it has names on the top, and it just says when people are in meetings and shouldn't be bothered, right? So it's literally just, you know, between 9 and 9:30, if it's red in that cell of this Excel sheet that's printed out and put on the door, that means no one can come into my workspace, right? The same thing for my husband, the same thing for my kids, because they were in virtual classes. And, you know, we learned real quick that it wasn't cool if I busted in on my 11-year-old science class either, right? He deserves the same respect. And so this has been totally key for us and a lot of my clients as well. I knew it was working when the very first week of quarantine, I heard my kids whispering outside the door of my home office saying, "Don't knock. It says she's in a meeting." And I realized, okay, this is working. So this over-communication of schedule and what to expect from people is a really important piece of it. Because otherwise, we're just interrupted constantly all day long. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this study that was done out of UC Irvine a few years ago, but it showed that when we get interrupted or distracted, it takes us on average 23 minutes to recover from the distraction or the interruption. And so really limiting that is incredibly important.
You know, we've talked about it with different guests that we've had and the different strategies that they've implemented. Having their kids home, like with younger kids. And I was like, use a colored light bulb. And when that light bulb, that certain color is on, you know, that they can't come in unless their right hand is in their left hand because they severed it, you know, don't knock.
Right.
But it also has to go with your spouse because it's so funny. Some of our guests and some of the women were like, you know, my kids have been great. It's my husband. That's really the one. It's like maybe they set a timer for him.
Right. And it's also about, I mean, this is something that I've seen come up so much. It's like, we all just, you know, it's like we expect people to be mind readers about what we need. And it's like, no, we had to have a conversation early on where we were like, you know what, during the day, we may happen to walk by each other on the way to the kitchen or the bathroom, but we're not going to chit chat about like the bills or, you know, whatever, any of this stuff. Like, we're going to pretend like we're still working in offices and that we don't interrupt our days by talking about that stuff. Now, some people might feel the opposite. Some people might really like to be able to chit-chat about that stuff in the middle of the day, but it's all about the communication of making sure that, you know, whether you're living with, you know, your spouse or, you know, your kids or whatever it is, that you're all on the same page about what you're expecting from each other.
So especially now, you know, I mean, let's face it, there's managing and balancing of business and families and things. How do you do that without one coming at the cost of the other?
Yeah. And so I think that one of the things that, you know, it's funny, a lot of the advice that I give around time management and productivity, it hasn't actually changed that much. It's just become more important, you know, as we've kind of had a blending of all of these boundaries. And so I think one of the things that is really important, whether we're at home or whether we're working in an office, is to stop relying on our memory about all the things we have to do. Like you want to cut the mental load down. And how we do this is very simple. It's that we literally write down every single thing that we have to do or that we think we have to do, and we put it in a task system of some sort. So, you know, if you're a bullet journal person, have it be a bullet journal. I recommend, you know, a task app or something like that. Those are so much easier, I think, and you can't lose them, which is also great. But putting everything, doing a huge brain dump of everything out of your head that you have to do, whether it's the work projects or the following up with somebody over email, or, you know, the fact that your kid's passport expires in 3 years or that your driver's license expires next year, whatever it is, all of these things let us actually offload the mental load into an external system. And then when we're able to do that, we are able to compartmentalize a little bit better. We're able to say, like, you know what, I know I'm in a business meeting. I don't need to be thinking about the fact that we're running out of milk, because that is somewhere, that exists somewhere in a system, and I know I'll get to it when it needs to happen. So I think that's one of the big things. I think also being not so strict. I think we have to be a lot of very flexible right now, but having some semblance of a schedule or a routine that you're doing and that your family does. So this probably has changed for a lot of people. You know, I used to work straight through lunch. Now I take an hour or so and I go out with the kids and my husband, et cetera. But really having, like, here are my business hours, and here's when I'm going to be working, and here's when I'm not going to be working, and having a way to transition between the two. So one of the things that, you know, I love to share with people is, instead of planning your work day in the morning, plan it the day before as the last 15 minutes that you're working. You know, look at your calendar, look at your task list, decide what you're going to do tomorrow, make a plan, and do a little brain dump. Make sure that you can get everything out of your head, because this will allow you to be not only more mentally present at home when you're trying to do home stuff with your family, but also it will allow you to be able to start in the morning with really very little activation energy required, because now you have a plan and you just have to execute instead of mustering up the energy to create the plan. And so, you know, I think that we can do both, and our schedules may change. You know, some people, especially people with very small kids, they might be now working, you know, not so much during the day, but they might be working more when their kids are sleeping at night, and that's okay. But putting some boundaries in time and space around those work hours really allow us to make sure that it doesn't all meld together.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
From the beach to a ball game, from your office to a locker, stadiumbags.com has the clear bags for you. Don't let our name fool you. We are not just for sports fans. The great thing about our bags is, yes, they meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. More importantly, they have the quality, versatility, and style that will stand up to years of use. You can feel free to clean your bags with the solvents that are going to keep the germs away from your home and your personal belongings and still make safety and convenience coexist. So find us at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we are your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back. We are talking with Alexis Hasselberger about time management and productivity, especially in everything going on now. And I want to ask, what methods do you offer in working with people, especially now?
Yes, yeah. So I have a few, you know, I try to make sure that I have something that can accommodate everybody. And so I do a lot of one-on-one coaching. I have a coaching program that walks people through all of the elements of time management and productivity so that you can build the systems into your life that really work for who you are. You know, I very much believe that everyone is an individual with different circumstances, different brains, et cetera. So I work with people individually to help them figure out and implement and build habits around systems that make their lives go more smoothly. I also offer a group coaching program, same program, just with a group of people instead of, you know, on your own. I have a corporate workshop, so if this is the type of information you think that your team would benefit from, I do a lot of work with companies. And then finally, I have online courses. And so I have, you know, one that's specifically about how to work from home without losing your sanity. And I have another one that's really more focused on general time management and productivity techniques and practices.
So tell us a little bit about your online courses.
Yeah, so the online course that I've had kind of in the world for a little bit longer than just this working from home stuff is really about how do we create a task management system for ourselves so that we can offload this mental load? How do we prioritize? How do we plan? You know, what are simple, effective techniques we can use for planning? How do we remove distractions from our environment? And then how do we focus even in the absence of distractions? Because I don't know about you, but I have certainly been alone in a room, no distractions, and I still can't focus on what I'm doing. And so we need techniques around that as well. And I mean, yes, that's happened to you, right? And so that course, it really walks you through these kind of central elements. It has all sorts of activities for you to do along the way so that you're not just sitting there intaking information, but you're actually taking that information and applying it to your real life and, you know, kind of iterating against how your life works and building it in there. And then my working from home online course is something that really, you know, in the first several weeks of this quarantine, I got that out there because I just saw that this was the biggest need coming from my clients. And so this one is really covering, you know, how do you deal with distractions and focus of home? Because it's, you know, we have distractions whether at the office or whether at home. They're just different distractions when we're at home. So really thinking about that. Thinking about how we create boundaries in time and in space so that we can have a little bit more semblance of balance or separation of work and home life instead of feeling like we're just kind of working all the time. It also talks about how we can maintain you know, just collegiality with our team members, right? How we can not be so isolated socially when we're at home from our coworkers. How do we maintain those relationships? It also talks about how do we communicate in a time where we can't just see each other or knock on each other's office doors or stop by our desks. you know, what do we really need to do to communicate effectively? And then there are also a couple of little modules in there. If you're a manager, there's a module about how to manage your team effectively when everyone's remote. And then there's a module about how to handle your kids when you're working from home that really dives into, you know, if they're babies or toddlers, here's some strategies you can use. If they're elementary, here's some strategies. If they're middle or high school, it's different strategies. So really, how do you integrate that into your life?
You touched earlier about boundaries. How do you mm-hmm. set those boundaries? How do you coach your clients into those boundaries and being able to create those parameters?
Yeah, so I think the first thing we talk about is that there's a difference between space boundaries and time boundaries. And so we want to think about both of them. Hmm. When we worked in an office, these boundaries existed without us trying to do anything, right? We had a commute. We went to the office. We came home. We had a place where we worked that was different from our homes. And so we need to think about how we can intentionally recreate similar boundaries that kind of allow our brains to remember that this is work time and, you know, this other time is not work time. So thinking about boundaries in space, it's thinking about, okay, for every person in my house, including myself, where is their work zone? Like, it doesn't have to be an office. Not everyone has the ability for people to have a home office, but where is each person going to be doing their work or their schoolwork? And that person is kind of responsible for that zone and in charge of that zone, and we don't go in other people's zones unless it's, you know, a time-appropriate way to do that, right? There's also thinking about how do you close up shop at the end of the day? You know, if your work zone is one end of your dining table, then you want to make sure that at the end of the day, you have a place to put your laptop and your work papers. You know, maybe it's a cabinet or a drawer or whatever, but you want to physically get that stuff out of your space, because if it's there, you're going to be tempted to keep working. Then you need to think about these time boundaries. So, you know, having a stopping time where it doesn't have to be the same time every day, but just saying, you know, today I'm going to stop working at 5 o'clock, that invokes Parkinson's law. And Parkinson's law is that work expands to fill the time allotted. So if we don't have a stopping time, then we'll just have a tendency to keep working. We're like, I can finish that after dinner or after the kids go to bed. Whereas if we have a stopping time, now we're kind of working against the clock. I like to think about this, you know, for me, when I came back from my first maternity leave, I had a stopping point for the first time ever, right? I had to leave at exactly 5 p.m. Otherwise, I would be late for the daycare and then they would charge me and blah, blah, blah. And what I realized is that, I instantly became more productive. And I think a lot of other moms have realized this too. Like the second you have a time deadline there, you're instantly more productive. You're not chit-chatting around the water cooler so much because you know that there's a time limit. So kind of recreating that for yourself. I think you can also think about what you're doing in the mornings. You know, resist that urge to grab your phone directly off your bedside table and start scrolling through your work emails before you've even gotten out of bed, because you're not giving yourself enough time to just, you know, decompress in the morning and move from that family zone into that work zone. So resist that urge, you know, get up, have your coffee, you know, say hi to your family, and then don't check your messages and things until you actually start working. Sometimes we talk about having a fake commute, which I know seems super silly, but really saying, okay, you know what? The commute used to be my trigger that it was work time. So I'm actually just going to get up, I'm going to walk around the block, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to sit down, and that's my mental trigger to work. And then sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, thinking about a transition to get in and out of the work, you know, the work mindset. And so for me, this has always been a run. You know, I'm a person that at the end of my workday, I go for a run, it clears my head, I come back, I'm ready to cook dinner, focus on my family, et cetera. For other people, it can be, you know, just taking 15 minutes in a corner or even just lock the bathroom door and reading, you know, a chapter of the book that you're reading or listening to your favorite podcast, but just something to do to really let you mentally transition out of work mode and into home mode to help you create those boundaries.
So why is it so important to learn how to say no? Let's face it, especially as moms and mompreneurs, why is that so important?
So as women, I'll just say in general, we are sensitized to say yes to everything, right? We just say yes by default. And what happens when we say yes by default is that we don't have room for the things we actually want to say yes to, right? If we say yes to everything, then that means we are by default saying yes to things we don't want to do and that aren't going to serve us in terms of our own values and our own goals. And so I really think it's important to, it's really central to prioritization. You know, again, we're not going to be able to do everything. So we want to say no to things that we're not excited about, because otherwise we don't have room when the opportunity comes up for something we are really excited about.
What a great way to wrap this up. Alexis, let everyone know how to reach you and share your last thought that you want to leave our listeners with, please.
Okay. So people can reach me at alexishasselberger.com. That is my URL. You can get to me there, contact me, et cetera. You can also reach me on social. So I'm on Facebook at Do More Stress Less, and I'm on Instagram at do.more.stress.less. And so you can reach out to me in any of those places. I'm more than happy to talk to any of you. And I think, you know, in terms of final thought, I'm going to give just one quick tip that I think might change things for people. And it is something you might have heard of before, but it's the 2-minute rule. And the 2-minute rule is simply, if something takes 2 minutes or less, just do it. Just don't put it on your task list. It's going to take just as much time to put it on there as it would to do it. If you get invited to something, don't hem and haw about it. Just RSVP. If you don't want to go, just say no. If a piece of paper comes across your desk, don't put it in a pile. Just scan it or shred it or whatever you need to do. If you see a mess on the floor, instead of walking by it 10 times wondering why no one else in your family has picked it up, just clean it up. It'll take 10 seconds and move on. And if you start approaching the world through this lens of the 2-minute rule, you'll really be able to knock things off in a way that it doesn't feel overwhelming over time.
I love that. And I've actually never heard of the 2-minute rule. It's the first time I have ever heard that. But I think that that is a fabulous, I really do. I think that is a fabulous tip, that if it takes 2 minutes or less, just do it, you know? And let's face it, this is such a challenging time that we are all in. And so however we're out there getting it done, good for you, good for me, you know, good for all of us, that we are finding the ways. And I love having this show, and I love being able to bring someone like you here to share these nuggets, these bits of wisdom, because especially as women, you know, we work so hard. And I say it all the time, perfection is a low goal. There's nothing's perfect. You know, you do the best you can. I love the idea of, you know, being intentional at the end of the day to set your day for the next day. So that way you're already, you know, one step ahead, your day is already starting. And those little things that we have to do right now for that self-care, you know, you're working at your table. It was easy to work at your table when everybody else was gone, but now it's a table that you have to share, you know. And I like I'm an everything away person. You know, everybody has their different things. At the end of the day, when I am finished, my laptop goes into a certain space. When I walk out, because I work from home, when I walk out in the morning, I don't want my job in front of my face. I want to flip on my little fireplace so I can watch the flames flicker, you know, and make my pot of tea and sit. And then when it's time for me to work, I take out my laptop. And sometimes I work from one table, sometimes I put it on a different one. I tend to stay in one spot. Every once in a while, I'll move around, you know, but it is those little things that help us keep our sanity, especially now. And so thank you so much. I hope that you will take advantage. Go take a look at some of this great information that Alexis is sharing, because we're all in this together, and we're all here trying to share different ways. Again, as I said in the beginning, you know, it's sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. We're here empowering each other, and that's what makes this so much fun. So thank you, Alexis, for being here. For all of you tuning in, thank you so much for spending time with us here on Word of Mom Radio. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure,
she is sure,
she is strong,
she is strong.